Principle 1.4. Look to nature to learn how reality works. All the laws of reality were given to us by nature. Man didn't create these laws, but by understanding them, we can use them to foster our own evolution and achieve our goals. For example, our ability to fly or send cell phone signals around the world came from understanding and applying the existing rules of reality, the physical laws or principles that govern the natural world. While I spend most of the time studying the realities that affect me most directly, those that drive economies and the markets and the people I deal with, I also spend time in nature and can't help reflecting on how it works by observing, reading, and speaking with some of the greatest specialists on the subject. I found it both interesting and valuable to observe which laws we humans have in common with the rest of nature and which differentiate us. Doing that has had a big impact on my approach to life. First of all, I see how cool it is that the brain's evolution gave us the ability to reflect on how reality works in this way. Man's most distinctive quality is our singular ability to look down on reality from a higher perspective and synthesize an understanding of it. While other species operate by following their instincts, man alone can go above himself and look at himself within his circumstances and within time, including before and after his existence. For example, we can ponder the ways that nature's flying machines, swimming machines, and billions of other machines, from the microscopic to the cosmic, interact with one another to make up a whole working world that evolves through time. This is because the evolution of the brain gave man a much more developed neocortex, which gives us the power to think abstractly and logically. While our higher-level thinking makes us unique among species, it can also make us uniquely confused. Other species have much simpler and more straightforward lives without any of man's wrestling with what's good and what's bad. In contrast with animals, most people struggle to reconcile their emotions and their instincts, which come from the animal parts of their brains, with their reasoning, which comes from the parts of the brain more developed in humans. This struggle causes people to confuse what they want to be true with that which is actually true. Let's look at the dilemma to try to understand how reality works. When trying to understand anything, economies, markets, the weather, whatever, one can approach the subject with two perspectives. First, top down. By trying to find the one code or law that drives them all. For example, in the case of markets, one could study universal laws like supply and demand that affect all economies and markets. In the case of species, one could focus on learning how the genetic code works for all species. Then there's bottom up. By studying each specific case and the codes or laws that are true for them, for example, the codes or laws particular to the market for wheat, or the DNA sequences that make ducks different from other species. Seeing things from the top down is the best way to understand ourselves and the laws of reality within the context of overarching universal laws. That's not to say it's not worth having a bottom-up perspective. In fact, to understand the world accurately, you need both. By taking a bottom-up perspective that looks at each individual case, we can see how it lines up with our theories about the laws that we expect to govern it. When they line up, we're good. By looking at nature from the top down, we can see that much of what we call human nature is really animal nature. That's because the human brain is programmed with millions of years of genetic learning that we share with other species. Because we share common roots and common laws, we and other animals have similar attributes and constraints. For example, the male-female sexual reproduction process, using two eyes to provide depth perception, and many other systems are shared by many species in the animal kingdom. Similarly, our brains have some animal parts that are much older in evolutionary terms than humanity is. These laws that we have in common are the most overarching ones. They wouldn't be apparent if we just looked at ourselves. If you just look at one species, ducks for example, to try to understand the universal laws, you'd fail. Similarly, if you just looked at mankind to understand the universal laws, you'd fail. Man is just one of 10 million species, and just one of billions of manifestations of the forces that bring together and take apart atoms through time. Yet most people are like ants, focused only on themselves and their own anthill. They believe the universe revolves around people and don't pay attention to the universal laws that are true for all species. To try to figure out the universal laws of reality and principles for dealing with it, I found it helpful to try to look at things from nature's perspective. While mankind is very intelligent in relationship to other species, we have the intelligence of a moss growing on a rock compared to nature as a whole. We are incapable of designing and building a mosquito, let alone all species and most other things in the universe. So I start with the premise that nature is smarter than I am and try to let nature teach me how reality works. A. Don't get hung up on your views of how things should be because you'll miss out on learning how they really are. It's important not to let our biases stand in the way of our objectivity. To get good results, we need to be analytical rather than emotional. Whenever I observe something in nature that I, or mankind, think is wrong, I assume that I'm wrong and try to figure out why what nature is doing makes sense. That has taught me a lot. It has changed my way of thinking about, first, what's good and what's bad, second, what my purpose in life is, and third, what I should do when faced with my most important choices. To help you explain why, I will give you a simple example. When I went to Africa a number of years ago, I saw a pack of hyenas take down a young wildebeest. My reaction was visceral. I felt empathy for the wildebeest and thought that what I had witnessed was horrible. But was that because it was horrible, or was it because I was biased to believe it's horrible when it actually is wonderful? That got me thinking. Would the world be a better or worse place if what I had seen hadn't occurred? That perspective drove me to consider the second and third order consequences so that I could see that the world would be worse. I now realize that nature optimizes for the whole, not for the individual. But most people judge good and bad based only on how it affects them. What I had seen was the process of nature at work, which is much more effective at furthering the improvement of the whole than any process man ever invented. Most people call something bad if it is bad for them or bad for those they empathize with, ignoring the greater good. This tendency extends to groups. One religion will consider its beliefs good and another religion's beliefs bad to such an extent that their members might kill each other in the mutual conviction that each is doing the right thing. Typically, people's conflicting beliefs or conflicting interests make them unable to see things through others' eyes. That's not good, and it doesn't make sense. While I could understand people liking something that helps them and disliking things that hurt them, it doesn't make sense to call something good or bad in an absolute sense based only on how it affects individuals. To do so would presume that what the individual wants is more important than the good of the whole. To me, nature seems to define good as what's good for the whole and optimizes for it, which is preferable. So I've come to believe that as a general rule, to be good, something must operate consistent with the laws of reality and contribute to the evolution of the whole. That is what is most rewarded. For example, if you come up with something the world values, you almost can't help but be rewarded. Conversely, reality tends to penalize those people, species, and things that don't work well and detract from evolution. In looking at what's true for everything, I've come to believe that evolution is the single greatest force in the universe. It is the only thing that is permanent, and it drives everything. Everything, from the smallest subatomic particle to the entire galaxy, is evolving. While everything apparently dies or disappears in time, the truth is that it just gets reconfigured in evolving forms. Remember that energy can't be destroyed, it can only be reconfigured. So the same stuff is continuously falling apart and coalescing in different forms. The force behind that is evolution. For example, the primary purpose of every living thing is to act as a vessel for the DNA that evolves life through time. The DNA that exists within each individual came from an eternity ago and will continue to live long after its individual carriers pass away in increasingly evolved forms. As I thought about evolution, I realized that it exists in other forms than life and is carried through other transmission mechanisms than DNA. Technologies, languages, and everything else evolves. Knowledge, for example, is like DNA in that it passes from generation to generation and evolves. Its impact on people over many generations can be as great or greater than that of the genetic code. Evolution is good because it is the process of adaptation that generally moves things toward improvement. All things such as products, organizations, and human capabilities evolve through time in a similar way. It is simply the process by which things either adapt and improve or die. Evolution consists of adaptations and inventions that provide spurts of benefits that decline in value. That painful decline leads either to new adaptations and new inventions that bring new products, organizations, and human capabilities to new and higher levels of development, or decline and death. Think of any product, organization, or person you know, and you will see that this is true. The world is littered with once great things that deteriorated and failed. Only a rare few have kept reinventing themselves to go on to new heights of greatness. All machines eventually break down, decompose, and have their parts recycled to create new machines. That includes us. Sometimes this makes us sad because we've become attached to our machines. But if you look at it from a higher level, it's really beautiful to observe how the machine of evolution works. From this perspective, we can see that perfection doesn't exist. It is a goal that fuels a never-ending process of adaptation. If nature, or anything, were perfect, it wouldn't be evolving. Organisms, organizations, and individual people are always highly imperfect, but capable of improving. So rather than getting stuck hiding our mistakes and pretending we're perfect, it makes sense to find our imperfections and deal with them. You will either learn valuable lessons from your mistakes and press on, better equipped to succeed, or you won't and you will fail. As the saying goes, evolve or die. This is D. This evolutionary cycle is not just true of people, but for countries, companies, economies, for everything. And it's naturally self-correcting as a whole, though not necessarily for its parts. For example, If there is too much supply and waste in the market, prices will go down, companies will go out of business, and capacity will be reduced until the supply falls in line with the demand, at which time the cycle will start to move in the opposite direction. Similarly, if an economy turns bad enough, those responsible for running it will make the political and policy changes that are needed, or they will not survive, making room for their replacements to come along. These cycles are continuous and play out in logical ways, and they tend to be self-reinforcing. The key is to fail, learn, and improve quickly. If you're constantly learning and improving, your evolutionary process will be ascending. To do it poorly, it will be descending.